Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found Nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid on a Friday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside on the heels of the NBA Draft. DRS, how you feeling on this Friday morning?
It's a Friday ready to go. Not a football Friday, but we had enough fireworks last night in the draft. And as our good friend Dave Sharapan says quite frequently, nobody knows nothing. And my goodness, was it fun to watch the NBA Draft starting with pick number one.
Man, although some people are trying to tell you that they knew it all along. Let's get right down to it. The number one overall pick was just a delight to watch this year. We had a bit of breaking news at around 8:40 on this show from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that said it's going to be Jabari Smith, number one to the Orlando Magic. And 11 hours later, as if a million plus people don't follow Woj, he rocked up with a, as I told you, it's Paolo Banchero going number one overall. At least that one was right. And it's Duke's freshman forward who the Magic take at the top spot, who, as again, this continued to bounce around when it was all said and done, DRS, a minus 5,000 favorite, even if it was only up there for about 4 minutes as this news was really coming down to the wire.
Incredible stuff. And we talked about it yesterday, you know, midday on Moneyline, and saying, boy, I would love for one more odd shift here. Figuring that most of the information is correct at this point. Woj had the tweet earlier in the morning where he had Coach on with us on the early line and said, you know what, let me log off, make some dinner, walk around. And I wasn't even involved all that much on Twitter. I tuned in at 8 o'clock to see who the first pick would be. And when I saw Paolo Banchero, I was like, wow, just amazing stuff. So tuned in, as most people did, to the Sports Grid Network to try to get that feel of why this guy went number one, what the odds were. I was shocked, and I loved every minute of it. So many times we said, man, Woj, you just blew the entire draft 1 through 3. No, he didn't. Woj was maybe working on it, saying, I'm going to go the opposite direction and add intrigue here. Completely blew my mind Banchero was number one. But that was a sensational week of watching the NBA draft with the odds moving each and every day.
Yeah, the M's and flows. And again, usually somebody kind of comes from behind the pack to take the top spot. They don't then lose it in the way that Paolo did, but he certainly ended up taking it back. All of this then led to Chet Holmgren landing number two to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Jabari Smith, no surprise, rounded out the top three by being a member of the Houston Rockets. But I thought the Chet news was pretty noteworthy because out of the top 10 picks, Chet was really one of only two that kind of went according to plan. It really does seem like his love for OKC and OKC's love for him was legit.
Yeah, it certainly was legit. And you also, you know, sometimes that subterfuge we talk about, right, where it's like, all right, I'm not going to hand in my papers. You're not going to be able to check my medicals. I don't want to go to Orlando. Meanwhile, Orlando, who had the number one overall pick, who wasn't hiding from anybody, apparently, is like, you know what? Let's be real coy and not even bring this guy in for a workout, which was interesting to all end. But we thought that Chet was probably headed to go number two, and he did.
Yeah, he certainly did. And that was one of the things that, from that initial Woj report, felt like the safest of the pack. As we said, Jabari rounded out that top three going to the Houston Rockets, and then up came the Sacramento Kings. We were thinking that there could be a trade, and if Sacramento was going to stay put, would they add to their backcourt? Would it Jaden Ivey? One of the stories of the draft is that they passed on the Purdue point guard. As our radio audience is here with you on a Friday morning, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside on the early line. As ultimately, at the fourth spot, the Sacramento Kings, DRS, seemingly do what they always do, hand themselves a pretty bad draft grade. And I imagine Detroit Pistons fans couldn't be any happier to be picking the slot right after the Sacramento Kings.
All the draft talk was, right, 1, 2, 3. We knew those players. Where were they going to factor in? You know, Paolo goes number one overall. But I thought all eyes would be on the four pick. And if you were the Sacramento Kings, you said, man, like, we're going to get a King's ransom here. People are beating down the door to get to number four to take Jaden Ivey. And they go, you know what? We don't need more picks. We don't even like this guy. We're just going to draft Keegan Murray at 4 overall, not pick up any future assets, and probably still get the guy that we wanted. And there we go, as Ivy goes 5th, and everybody can say, hey, look at the Pistons making all the right moves. Well, in order to make all the right moves, sometimes a team has to make all the wrong moves, and apparently that was the Sacramento Kings.
And that has been going on for quite some time. Also in the NBA landscape, only a small piece of news. Adrian Wojnarowski reports that Kyrie has a 6-team wish list that he is eyeing up, including the Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Sixers, Miami Heat, and Dallas Mavericks. Also, an accompanying report from Sham Sharani of The Athletic that Kevin Durant is very much so eyeing up what is going on in Brooklyn and is contemplating his future.
Yeah, I guess you wake up one morning in Brooklyn and say, you know, before this 2021 season starts, we're going to run off multiple NBA championships and ride off into the sunset. And now you might be left with one of those Will Smith memes from the Fresh Prince, right? Where nobody is left in the room but the GM, like, hey, where did my team go? Watch out, Brooklyn, man. It's going to be a wild turn over the next couple of weeks here.
I ranked the 6 teams on Kyrie's wish list of where I think the best options for him is. We will get into those. We'll talk about the Yankees-Astros first game of the series, a magical ninth inning with including an Aaron Hicks 3-run homer and then a walk-off base knock for the AL MVP favorite in Aaron Judge. We've got updated news around Baker Mayfield and the Seattle Seahawks who are interested, and Rory McIlroy enters day 2 of the Travelers Championship T1, seeing if he can pull in another PGA Tour event.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here on Sports Grid, let's really take the opportunity to dive into what exactly happened involving the number one overall pick. To start this off, we know that Jabari Smith was favored when the Orlando Magic won the lottery. Now, it was about a minus 140 price. It moved it around to a minus 200. That is not an unimpeachable price, right? But the Jabari number would climb throughout the process, at some point getting around a minus 600 number. Chet Holmgren the whole way, right? DRS was the number two choice. And then all of a sudden, at around 20 to 1, here came Paolo Banchero. A legitimate move. But we didn't really think he was going to cross that favorite threshold. And then he did. Overnight, leading into Thursday morning, you and I entered yesterday's early line with Banchero as the favorite, above minus 200, mind you, as the favorite. And then we got an early morning Woj tweet that told us 1, 2, 3 look locked in, and it's Jabari 1, Chet 2, Paolo 3. Let's stop right there because, honey, at that moment, lines locked up, and when they came back, Jabari Smith was a minus 20,000 favorite. And it's, you know, even moving back a little bit to that minus 6,000, but an unbettable favorite, Jabari Smith became to be the number one overall pick.
And this is something that we haven't seen. And certainly, you know, you get the information like 2 weeks ahead of time, 3 weeks ahead of time, 1 week ahead of time. It's okay. We're finally starting to settle in. And I still remember the quote there for the Orlando Magic front office. The GM comes out and says, you know, coming right down to the wire and or coming down to the wire. We still have plenty of time left. I said to myself, Kevin, 4 days. Like, you don't know who you're picking. And as I said, if I was the owner of the Magic, I would fire everybody in the room. And maybe it was true. Maybe it was true up till late afternoon. The Orlando Magic had no idea who they were taking. And the NBA is that small fraternity of beat writers that usually get it right 100% of the time. And you know how, Kevin, they're so confident that at 7:40 or 7:50 a.m. or 8:50 a.m., whatever time that came out, that Woj tweet, where he was assured, here's the top three picks. Here's the order. Thank me later. See you at the draft tonight. I could take the rest of the day off. And we said to ourselves, wow, look at that. The NBA just let their top mouthpiece say an early morning action. You don't need to watch the first three picks because I got them right here. Good luck. This is why they call me the best to ever do it here and dropping Woj bombs. And it was completely wrong. And throughout the day, we're saying to ourselves, right, you saw those odds shifting on the board. And I'm saying, like, why are we moving on air? Like, are people just saying, like, oh, I just feel like throwing money away? Like, we knew, like, when Woj tweets out, here's 1, 2, and 3, this is exactly the order it's going to be. Why are you betting against it? And we're joking. Okay, now here goes the move, right? Jabari Smith from 260 to 360 to 460. All right, log off after the show, Moneyline, the afternoon, 3 o'clock, seeing what we needed to see. Everything is fine here. And then all of a sudden, the lines start shifting back once again. And all I was asking for yesterday, Kevin, was like, can we get one more line move? Can we get one more line shift just to make it interesting, maybe bring Jabari Smith down to a minus 180? And it flipped all the way in the opposite direction. And for me, for once, usually my phone is attached to my hand all times of the day, every 15 minutes checking in on Twitter. I actually stayed away, tuned into the draft, 7:58, 7:59, 8 o'clock, and I was genuinely shocked when I saw Banchero went number one overall, and I thoroughly enjoyed it because for once, we could read the tea leaves, and it cost me a half unit yesterday live. I'm like, whoa, we're getting a steal. And if you remember me telling you, Kevin, at the same time, you know what, off the air, I should have went more. I should have just piled money on. Like, Woj just gave me the final score of an NBA game for all intents and purposes, and I didn't trust it. And thank goodness, Kevin, I didn't trust it.
And this is the thing why this scenario was so surprising. Because that tweet, Donnie, comes out 20 to 9, right? You know, 8:40 a.m. East Coast time. And Woj didn't tweet about it again 11 hours later. See, if what would have happened is you're alluding to there, right? Is if in that 11-hour window, not much movement, right? It would have made sense. But at 3 hours later, that Jabari number that was minus, we'll use 6,000 for a reference point, flip back to under minus 1,000. People were betting against Woj with confidence. And then about 10 minutes till air for us on our radio show, that 1 p.m. Eastern start time, was minus 135 on Jabari Smith. And we didn't get an updated Woj report. We didn't get a conflicting Shams report. Not Chris Haynes, not Mark Stein, not Jake Fisher. None of the big names out there said, hey, Paolo is still deep in the mix here. But it was the people who were in the know, the same people that flipped Paolo to a minus 200 favorite, said, you're wrong. It's not Jabari Smith. And then all of the sudden, with about 20 minutes until draft time, here comes Woj. And I will say, I think for, you know, kind of his own sake there, at least it wasn't Shams who rocked up with the counterpoint of it's Paolo, but it was Woj himself who said, it's Paolo Banchero. The tweet read, as you've seen, you know, as we post, as I just reported on our NBA draft show on ESPN, Paolo Banchero has joined Jabari Smith to be under serious consideration to be the number one overall pick. Now, the thing I joked about is, you know, as you just reported, I mean, stop the madness, because what you really reported is that this was Jabari. And in a very, very strong set of circumstances. So to have that wrong was stunning. But the one thing, DRS, is once it went back to Paolo, minus 120 both directions, ooh, minus 150, minus 200, minus 400, minus 800, minus 1,000, minus 5,000, Donnie, and that's where it locked. That was the final move. And the Magic took Paolo Banchero, and this thing went back and forth, really all through just the reporting of Woj, a phenomenal roller coaster there around the number one overall pick.
And it was sensational to watch. And also, if you watched last night on the NBA telecast, you saw when they interviewed Paolo Banchero. And he broke it all the way down. Said, hey, look, let's just ask you a question. Did this shock you at all? Like, they didn't bring you in for a workout. And says, oh, we did some Skype videos. They showed me around the facility that way, met everybody. So they were comfortable and they did their due diligence. But before the draft, as you notice, he also said, I'm with my agent. It's a few minutes before the draft. He tells me, hey, it could go either direction. You know, get ready for this. And when the commissioner is walking up to the podium, his agent then finally lets him know, congratulations, you're going to the Magic. This is outrageous. Like, usually, you know, weeks, months, as soon as, like, hey, heading into September, let's just say, before college basketball even tips off, here's who the number one overall pick is going to be. Boy, let's tank for this guy because we really would like to get this kid. And all the way through till 30 seconds where the number one overall pick and his agent himself didn't even get that phone call till right when Adam Silver took the podium and said, you know, you're on the clock. Here's Orlando. Let's go ahead with this pick. Fascinating stuff and exciting for the future of the drafts. Because when we talk about this, Kevin, let's equate it to the MVP race this year between Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic, right? Embiid's going to win it. Embiid's going to win it. Embiid's going to win it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sources say here, mysterious straw poll, it's Nikola Jokic. Well, from that day forward, exactly that same day, Embiid turns from that heavy favorite to a dog, and never again, it was always going to be Nikola Jokic. I love the fact that Woj would tweet it out because no matter how many more times Woj gets it right, he could have the next 10 drafts correct, morning, 9 a.m., tweet out, here's 1, 2, 3, and you know what, Kevin? Mm-hmm. We won't believe him. We won't believe him.
The straw poll joke, right? That now we don't need to bet the NBA's MVP market. Just wait for the midseason straw poll and line your bets up. The idea that now, if Woj sends out a 12-hour in advance NBA draft tweet, the reaction won't be to run to the window, but you need it's a really, really interesting set of circumstances there. That number one overall pick was quite the ride. Here's what we're going to do coming up against the break. Let's talk about some of these selections there. What do we think maybe about Paolo actually being the first overall pick? Chet goes 2, Jabari goes 3. The Pistons had a big day. Oh, and the Knicks traded Kemba Walker, by the way. A lot of breaking down to do, and that's all next year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Jeremy Lyon is back right here on SportsGrid. Let's talk about the top three as a whole. There was a couple of other storylines that came out, but we kind of gave you that breakdown, and necessary to give it to you, about the ride that existed for Banchero to land number one overall to Orlando. But, Donnie, we had Paolo Banchero go 1 to the Magic, Chet Holmgren go 2 to the Thunder, and Jabari Smith go number 3 overall to the Houston Rockets. Now, I know that not everybody out there, you know, 1 through 60, right? Not everybody's familiar with those guys, but everybody knows these top three, right? All on super relevant teams throughout the college season. You talk about, Duke and Paolo, Gonzaga and Chet, and Auburn and Jabari Smith. When you talk about the player and you look at where these guys landed, of those first three picks, what was the most interesting one to you?
I mean, I guess you could say it was Paolo Banchero going number one overall out of Duke to the Orlando Magic. But at the same time, you know what I thought to myself? How many times do you get, like, in drafts, and this is all sports, where it's like, okay, there's a clear-cut number one, whether it would be Peyton Manning in football for 1 year, or it would be Bryce Harper in Major League Baseball, or, you know, Sidney Crosby in NHL, right? We're saying we got to get the number one overall pick. It's the only guy. It's a one-man draft. We got to get this guy straight-up superstar. And I don't think that was the case here, because you had three really good players in contention for that number one overall pick, and quite frankly, when you look at Orlando, oh, man, it's your Paolo. Did anybody, like, it's almost as if when Paolo got drafted, like the draft Knicks, who would have thought it was Jabari Smith all along. Oh, man, they really messed up. How did they mess up? Did you ever watch Banchero play basketball? 6'10", can do it all here. If he improves his three-point shot even to the, 10th degree, he's going to be an amazing NBA player. And the same thing with Chet Holmgren going to Oklahoma City. I mean, okay, tall guy, slender, but the guy can knock down the three. Same thing with Jabari Smith, can really knock down the three as well. I don't think there was any surprises to me overall. I said, boy, they really whiffed. This was such an easy pick, and they messed it up here. The only thing I guess I could be surprised with is that Jabari Smith, who we thought all along was going number one overall, actually ended up at number three. So if you're the Houston Rockets, you probably really had to like the way that top three shook out, because because, quite frankly, probably the best overall prospect was Jabari Smith. But from a perspective of who did we draft, when do we draft him, I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed in a couple of years like, oh, man, can't believe we went Bancaro over Chet Holmgren. I don't see it.
For me, I love Chet Holmgren, and I think OKC did get the best player in the class at two. The one thing I have said, though, is I can't crush Orlando if the reason they didn't take Chet Holmgren is because they couldn't get the medicals. Because the number one overall pick matters so much, and if you wanted that extra piece of confidence to take the number one pick and you didn't get it from Chet, then I understand ultimately there. But I think OKC got themselves a really, really exciting player in Chet Holmgren to pair alongside with SGA, Josh Giddey. We know the names that are there in OKC. Probably more, we probably know the names and are impressed with the names more than you would think when you talk about a team that's horrendous and has been for two consecutive years. I am curious if the intention is to, again, be horrendous. Like, we have the Rookie of the Year odds available right now, right? We're not going to get into them too much today. I want to let some things settle. But, is Chet Holmgren going to only play 41 games because basically, you know, OKC has to make sure that they're horrendous again? I hope not, but I am super, super interested in Chet. I know a lot of people are worried about the size. I do think he can make up for that. One, again, we always harp on how skinny he is, but it's like then they punt on the length. I mean, a legitimate 7-footer, the 7-foot-4 wingspan, an unbelievable shot blocker at the collegiate level, a very, very good rebounder, by the way. What's the easy comparison to make? Kristaps Porzingis. Listen, Chet Holmgren is a significantly better rebounder than Kristaps Porzingis, and honestly, he's a lot more of an aggressive basketball player compared to Kristaps. Shot it at near 40% from beyond the arc as well at Gonzaga from three. I just think OKC got the best player in this class at two, and anytime that's the case, that's a great piece of value. Now, another story, again, coming out of this draft is what the Detroit Pistons were able to do and kind of how it pertains to what the Sacramento Kings were not able to do. Jaden Ivey at 5 for Detroit, and they were able to make another trade that brought them Jalen Duren in as well. I love this. I think Jaden Ivey has a chance to be fantastic right away. I think Jalen Duren was a great bit of value at ultimately what accounts to the 13th overall pick. I think it gives them security if they can't bring in DeAndre Ayton, who I think they could still be interested in. I think maybe the easiest A-level grade of a draft night to give out, DRS, belonged to the Detroit Pistons.
I think you're right on that as well, because sometimes you don't know the final picture, right? You just start painting that picture and say, what's Detroit doing? You know, you trade a decent player away for a future, you know, first-round draft pick. You're trying to clear cap space. Well, who's going to want to go to Detroit? But actually, when you see it start to come together, you say, okay, I got two really good young players. And you know what the best part about two really good young players are, Kevin? They don't make $50 million a year. So you get two players, add them, and say, all right, now we're still open for business with massive cap space here that maybe we can attract somebody else. And now also, I want to ask your question on this being an NBA guy. If I take a look at the draft picks that they take, Ivy, who's obviously, you know, maybe a superstar in the making here, goes number 5 overall. They were loving the fact that he fell down. Now you take a look at Duren, who is a center, but you also talk about those tea leaves, right? Well, we have spots open. We would love a DeAndre Ayton. With adding Duren here, now keep in mind again, Duren's a young player. He's going to take some time to acclimate to the NBA. DeAndre Ayton was the number one overall pick, veteran in the league now, a young veteran, but a dominant player. With them picking Duren or making that move to get him, does that stymie them on a move to DeAndre Ayton or even DeAndre Ayton's camp going, okay, you drafted a young center. We don't want to go there. We're going to keep our options open. Was that one of those moves that said, hey, look, no, we like these two players, but we really need Ayton on top of it? Or did that maybe slow them down in the DeAndre Ayton process here?
It's a great question. I think that they should still look to make moves around DeAndre Ayton because they clearly want to be good now in Detroit. And Ayton is only 23 years old, so he fits the timeline of your young core, which is going to be spearheaded, of course, by Cade Cunningham as well as Jaden Ivey. But what they, I think, now have is if they don't come away with Ayton, security in a Jalen Duren, who they're clearly high on. And all of a sudden now, Phoenix loses a little bit of that leverage in, you know, the sign-and-trade conversations ultimately there. So it's a wonderful thing where I think they can still be in on Ayton, and I don't think Ayton has to worry about playing time, right? If DeAndre Ayton lost out on minutes to Jalen Duren, ultimately that's just a bad reflection on DeAndre Ayton, which I wouldn't expect because he would be probably coming in on a max-level contract if he did join the Detroit Pistons there. It's a great question. I know it's one that people are interested in. What I really think happened here is the Pistons provided themselves some legitimate security and just kept adding talent. Which, again, if you're a team like the Pistons, that's the name of the game when you enter the draft. Now, involved in all of this with Detroit was the New York Knicks. The Knicks found a way to draft zero players in the first round and be one of the stories of the first round. They traded out from the 11th spot with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were drafting 12, and it didn't involve a pick swap at all. It involved a bunch of future first rounders. And then they also kept the moves going there, and it looked like they were getting Jalen Duren, but no, they weren't getting Jalen Duren. The report is the Knicks kept calling the Pistons, actually, and said, are you sure you want Jaden Ivey? Which is one of the craziest things I've ever heard. I don't know if anybody's ever done that. Just call for a guy that just got drafted by a team at fifth overall. But also one of the big pieces of headline news here, Nani, is the fact that they were able to move Kemba Walker to Detroit, and the report already is that there will be a buyout agreement between the Pistons as well as Kemba Walker. A lot of information there all at once. What was the most interesting piece of it to you?
Yeah, it was an interesting piece, just the Knicks overall here, right? You heard from their fan base going, man, we're going to trade up. We're definitely going to get Jaden Ivey and stack on here. If you're a Knicks fan, because sometimes you're right, and I just talked about Kevin, you know, you start painting that picture, it's not all the way through. It just seems like they already have their picture painted, framed, and hung on the wall as Knicks fans going, we're not going to improve our team at one iota here, which means they're going to clear cap space, get some things out, and sign some aging free agent somewhere else that's just not going to work out for them. You do need building blocks and young pieces to sort of go with a veteran cast that you currently have. But if you are a Knicks fan, and I guess the one picture, as we like to say, you can take away was Stephen A. sitting in his chair on draft night with his head down and Spike Lee rubbing his shoulders like, this is what we're used to every year. We have no plan, and wherever the Knicks go, it's usually the wrong decision to make. Tough night overall for the Knicks because you wanted to believe, even with a good building block, like, okay, what's next for us here? Well, they stacked some future ones and got rid of Kemba Walker, but they did nothing to improve their franchise. Now, maybe they have a lot of things in the work behind the scenes, Kevin, that we don't know about, but if you're a Knicks fan or a Knicks backer going, did we get better last night? I'm not so sure. You actually did.
Oh, they didn't get better. Now, I think some of the stress was because they drafted an overseas player in Usman Jang, but ultimately that ended up becoming Oklahoma City's pick, right? But the thing with the Knicks is, and I do appreciate this from their fan base, is they didn't learn any lessons from the Kristaps thing, right? Remember they took Kristaps and there were people crying, like, oh no, we'll never be good. And it was like the best thing that had happened that to them in like a decade, it felt like, because Kristaps was basically, if the Knicks draft somebody that didn't play at a big college, the fans are going to boo, and the draft is held in New York. Yeah. So that was part of the disaster. But then they added all these picks. The thing for the Knicks is it seems like the plan is to continue to clear up cap space for Jalen Brunson. There's two problems with that. One, they still have more cap space that needs to be cleared. And two, even if you get there, there's no guarantee he comes at all because Dallas says that they want to keep him. And if you want to add an additional problem, if they add Jalen Brunson, who is running to the window to grab New York Knicks futures? Not me. Not you out there. I don't think so. So I don't know what the Knicks plan is. Now, maybe they're stockpiling picks because they want to get in on a Donovan Mitchell race. Well, that's a little more interesting to me if that's where we go. Again, that extra piece of news there. Kemba eventually going to get a buyout. You imagine all the usual suspect teams that are going to be competing for titles will be making the phone call to see what kind of juice they can get out of a guy like Kemba Walker. More NBA news coming up next here on the Other Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports. main conversation, but listen, was it the most interesting conversation? Well, that's to the eye of the beholder. Let's start with the news that came from Woj's desk, the latest on the Brooklyn Nets. The RS, according to Woj, that if Kyrie does not reach an agreement with Brooklyn, he has a long list of teams that he is interested in joining. That list, Donnie, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Heat, the Mavs, and the Sixers. And he also added none of those teams have the cap space to sign him without some help from Brooklyn. What did you make of that initial report?
Yeah, I thought the reports, you know, coming out where the impasse was the original tweets that were coming out was correct. And I do think Kyrie Irving is on the move. Number one, we could take a shot at Woj, but guy Woj, and I don't know. You sure these teams are correct here in this order that we're looking at here? Because quite frankly, he just had a misstep here on draft night. I'm not so sure if all these teams shake out. But looking at it, I mean, if you're Kyrie Irving and you're an established player in the NBA looking to say, I want to go to a veteran. I mean, these are the teams that you want, right? Lakers, LeBron James, Clippers, a very good team. The New York Knicks, obviously they're in the mix because why? Kyrie is currently in New York now, so we don't have to make too much of a move. Miami Heat, Dallas Mavericks, Philadelphia 76ers, they all make some sense. And I guess from a Sixers fan perspective, which I am, you know, your ears prop up like, whoa, you can actually get James Harden and Kyrie Irving. I don't know how it mixes out because I think the key ingredient here is what you said. It's not as if these teams are willing, able, and ready where all they have to do is say, you know what? We like Kyrie. Come on, Kyrie. Here's a max deal. Come on to the team. A lot of maneuvering has to go around, including, you're right, help from the Brooklyn Nets, who, quite frankly, sometimes when franchises feel burned, and we talk about the LeBron James situation back in the day when he left the Cleveland Cavaliers, where Dan Gilbert said, you know what? I'm not going to forego this exemption that we can get back for LeBron with a sign and trade where he gets the most money. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I just want to send him down there where he can't make the most money and say, hey, look, Dan, calm down here. He left. You're never getting him back, or it seems like you weren't going to get him back. Take the draft. Take the trade exemption here for the salary cap and the draft picks. Okay, fine. That works out. So I do think Brooklyn is open to the move here. Now, also, is it one of those things where you try to say to yourself, well, if I'm Brooklyn, do I want him going to the Knicks? Probably not in city. Do I want him going to the Heat? No, I'm probably going to have to play him. Same thing for the 76ers, where you might want him out of the West, out of the East and into the West. So if I'm looking at this perspective, probably the two livest teams on this card, Lakers and the Clippers for me.
I'll tell you what, I decided, though, to take it and order the six teams that we were presented from Woj of what I think would be optimal for Kyrie Irving. So to me, I think the best spot is the Lakers, and I think that's pretty obvious. It's the devil you know. He and LeBron know they can win championships together, and his game with Anthony Davis can actually exist for years upon years, being in Los Angeles competing for titles. I think they're clearly the best spot for him to land. The second choice, with a bit of a gap, would be the Clippers. Now, a perfect player-ran organization for Kyrie Irving. I don't even think Kawhi has ever had to practice once in a Clipper uniform. Somebody snuck a report out yesterday that Kawhi has no restrictions during his rehab. I believe nothing until we see a photo of Kawhi Leonard actually taking jump shots there. And the nice thing as well, the Kyrie Clippers connection, is that Ty Lue is there, somebody he won a championship with, though that also could work against him. Because maybe Ty Lue has no interest in coaching Kyrie Irving once again. Of course, we know that very well could play in. I think Dallas would be the third best fit for Kyrie Irving, right? In the same way of playing along a LeBron James who controls the entire game, that's what the expectation would be for him as well as playing alongside a Luka Doncic. Plus, you and I kept saying to ourselves, how did the Mavs make the Western Conference Finals with the roster that they provided? Well, yeah. If Dallas goes out there, Luka's another year better, you add Christian Wood, and you go in from Jalen Brunson to Kyrie Irving, that's a better basketball team. I'm sure Kyrie has a connection with Jason Kidd, and I think that makes sense. Now, the back three here, all of them have big question marks. Does Kyrie Irving in Miami make sense? Well, in terms of fit, yes. In terms of a relationship with Jimmy Butler, sure. Will Pat Riley lose his mind 2 weeks into the relationship? Also very, very likely. And I don't know how that will land for Kyrie Irving when you have Pat Riley telling him what he needs to be eating every single day of the week. I don't know if that's a perfect marriage. Miami is fourth, but I don't know if it's a perfect fit. The Knicks to me are fifth. Ultimately, I don't see this making much of any sense. We have a gang of contenders on here. and the Knicks. Why Kyrie Irving would go from teams with high-level championship aspirations to the Knicks makes no sense. Because you can't say, oh, well, it's the Knicks. Yeah, he had the chance to go to the Knicks and burned the Knicks and went to the Brooklyn Nets. I don't see the vision at all. And again, I will reiterate, maybe the single worst player-coach fit I could imagine in the NBA with Thibs and Kyrie. And last year, Donnie, and you can tell me where you agree and where you disagree, the Sixers have to be the absolute worst team on this option. Joel Embiid might request a trade upon Kyrie's arrival. Doc Rivers can already lock himself into guaranteed being fired at the end of that season. And James Harden might retire as soon as this news breaks and say, hold on a minute, I left Brooklyn to get away from you. That would be the most embarrassingly chaotic situation if Kyrie landed all of a sudden there in Philly. Sixers fans also, we know this, would absolutely prefer to have Tyrese Maxey. That's how I view the six spots there through Kyrie's perspective. You tell me where you agree and where you disagree as I rank the top spots there for Kyrie Irving.
It is interesting, but talking on that Sixers standpoint, it would be fascinating, and you want to talk about an exciting NBA offseason if Kyrie goes to the Sixers and they keep James Harden along with Joel Embiid. And you're right. You know, outside of Michael Jordan 1993, Sixers fans for some reason wouldn't give up Tyrese Maxey straight up. They need more from the Chicago Bulls, who would have to maybe throw in Scottie Pippen at that point along with a B.J. Armstrong in order to pry Maxey loose. But the one team that I look at here, because you have the Clippers and the Lakers, I'm just talking from a fan perspective here and not a fan of a team per se. If you are a casual NBA fan, you know what gets you angry? Oh, look at that. Kyrie's going to the Lakers. Oh, look at that. Kyrie's going to the Clippers, or he's staying with the Knicks here, or he's going to the Sixers. But I think everybody could probably come to an agreement. You know what the intriguing spot would be? You're right, the Dallas Mavericks here. Like, you move on from Jalen Brunson, get Kyrie. We said it. Like, Luka Doncic almost single-handedly brought his team to the NBA Finals. And all we kept saying is, get him a Batman and Robin type situation where on a night where Luka doesn't have to have his points, rebounds, and assists at 53.5 for the Mavericks to have a chance, go, man, you know what was nice tonight? I scored 17 points, had 16 assists and 9 rebounds, and Kyrie dropped 38 and we won easily. Boy, this is nice. As opposed to us looking at, hey, what a good night by Jalen Brunson. 21 points. That's sensational. No, you got to get that next level talent guy. So all those teams that we have lined up here in that list, the most intriguing spot overall for, not the best spot, I'm saying, the most intriguing spot would be, gotcha. Let me see what he can do with Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I think that would be a very, very fascinating standpoint. And that's why, again, for Kyrie Irving, I think there's a cutoff at 3, which adds then to this extra piece of Woj news, which I thought was tremendous. After his report of the wish list and the potential 6 teams, he adds, those are teams who Irving has interest in, but he isn't necessarily a priority for all of them, sources said. And I think that's, because I imagine, Donnie, that that's not Miami's first choice. I don't even know if Philly has any interest in Kyrie Irving. But I do wonder if Dallas fits that description. And I'll tell you this right now. If the Dallas Mavericks are prioritizing Jalen Brunson over Kyrie Irving, that is a swing and a miss right there. That is just not the move that I would be making if I were the Dallas Mavericks. And we finally, though, did get that additional piece of news that we needed, right? And it's not a surprising bit of news. But amidst all this Kyrie stuff, well, what did it mean for Kevin Durant? Shams Charania giving a little 1-2 combination here does say, according to his sources, KD is monitoring the net situation and considering options with his future, adding then it now opens the path for Kyrie to proceed on finding a new home via opt-in and trade. I tell you, it almost read to me, that report, I'm curious about you, that almost read to me that Kevin Durant is ready to move on, period. Not KD's leaving if Kyrie's gone, but almost that this 1-2 punch here has soured on the Brooklyn Nets organization. And if that's true, then we're at the point of no return.
Exactly. And what does KD want out of the rest of his career now, Kevin, right? Because you saw him at OKC. He had a nice young supporting cast around him. Russell Westbrook, I mean, superstars. James Harden was there for a few years. Then, you know, you head out over to Golden State. You play with another, like, big three. You head on over to Brooklyn. You have a big three here. It doesn't look like Kevin Durant wants to be like, I'm the last person standing in this building, but that's okay. I'll drop 40 a night as we get the eighth overall seed and then get bounced in the first round. It almost looks like also, if you're setting up the narratives, as we like to say, Kevin Durant, who we know is always lurking on Twitter and always loves to give that instant feedback if he feels like he's wronged. But I think, you know, what I've been saying, the one thing that hurts Kevin Durant's, you know, power moving forward is, all right, Kevin, because the Golden State Warriors now hold that sledgehammer going, you needed us to win a championship. You're obviously nothing without a superstar team around you. Yeah, I'll show you. Look at me, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. We'll go out and win a couple. And I'll tell you that I don't just need the Golden State Warriors. I'm fine by myself. And it didn't work out. So if he cuts bait and runs from the Brooklyn Nets to, let's just say, I'm just using the Los Angeles Lakers, it's such a tough look around the NBA circles for Kevin Durant saying, oh, I thought you were the catalyst all the time when you were saying I came over to Golden State to rescue your franchise because as a parent, you got lucky winning your championship when that's not the case here. It might give him an out clause saying, what did you want me to do? Everybody left Brooklyn. I'm trying to win. I can't win in Brooklyn all by myself. I at least need to go to a decent franchise. This is one to watch out for.
And this is the thing that I try to warn the Nets about and the fans and the backers and the pundits of, get rid of Kyrie. Come on now. How could you possibly hitch your wagon to him? Well, if Kyrie equals Kevin Durant, you hitch your wagon to him. It is that simple. See, I do think people have forgot the reason they play in Brooklyn is not Kevin Durant. It's Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant wanted to play for the Knicks, but he is so passive that he was like, hey, listen, Kyrie, you think it's Brooklyn? Cool, we're in Brooklyn. Like, I don't think Nets fans realize how much actually they have Kyrie Irving to thank for Kevin Durant playing for their organization. And they, for some understandable reasons, had their hesitations around Kyrie, but that is a dangerous game to play with the stars of this league. And if you're now at this point, it's time to ante up on trade and rebuild because all of your draft picks belong to the Houston Rockets. I can't believe we are here again where Brooklyn Nets draft picks have become the most valuable thing out there compared to Bit and Dogecoin, as you like to say, because the Nets look like they could very well be a very bad basketball team. Do they start to even entertain a Ben Simmons trade, which I know Sixers fans would find quite hilarious? And we are going to continue to follow this story. I can't at this moment give you a great landing spot for Kevin Durant. Going back to Golden State, he's getting slandered. Joining the Bucks and Giannis, slandered. LeBron and the Lakers or the Clippers and Kawhi, slander, slander. If he goes to Memphis, though, or Atlanta, does that really make sense? Phoenix, find that perfect porridge for Kevin Durant and a potential landing spot. It is a difficult thing to do. More NBA talk as we button up our number one here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
But I want to go back to the NBA draft because I think there's one selection that is absolutely worth commenting on a little bit deeper into the draft, and that was the 28th pick made by the Golden State Warriors. Patrick Baldwin Jr., for those that don't know, a top five recruit going into college basketball and a one-and-done freshman. Usually, those credentials alone lock you in to being a lottery-level selection. But this is a story, and I wanted to bring this up to give you kind of the opportunity to break it down, Donnie, that you have followed, commented on, and been right on a lot of the way. I will say, though, the landing spot for Patrick Baldwin Jr. worked perfectly. Set the stage for people a little bit here, and then tell them what you think about where he ultimately finished up.
Yeah, not all sunshine and rainbows here for Patrick Baldwin Jr., one of those guys that was either, hey, I can go to Duke or Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. We're going to have a little hat contest here. It's going to be Duke. No, it ended up being Wisconsin-Milwaukee, so he heads there to play for his father in one of those years where they were struggling, and maybe this could be that shining moment where they could win the conference, move on to the NCAA tournament, the Dak can get an extension. The son goes in the top five in the NBA draft, and that didn't happen here. An injury-plagued season, which saw his father end up getting fired, but also mock drafts before this had him going anywhere from late first round, which he went, all the way through to 44, 45, 46 into the second round. But if we're talking about landing spots, a sensational landing spot here for Patrick Baldwin Jr. with the Golden State Warriors. Why? They're a championship franchise. He could take as long as he wants to rehab, get healthy, get ready, and learn the NBA while he is a talented prospect. Because if we take a look at the last guy that went number two overall, James Wiseman, on a typical franchise, he would be getting crushed, Kevin, right now. But since they won a championship, it's okay if it takes him longer to acclimate to the NBA.
Patrick Baldwin Jr. can play for the Santa Cruz Warriors and catch absolutely zero slander for it. They don't need him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's room for them to really play any PBJ. But the landing spot did work out. Did they lose a lot of money by not being in the lottery? Sure. But I think it ended up working out just all right for Pat Baldwin Jr. Hour two coming up.